Welcome to the Heartland Baptist Podcast. I'm Steve Swan, one of the pastors here at Heartland.
And I'm Joel Carla, also one of the pastors here at Heartland.
You can expect on this feed to hear the Sunday morning teaching from Heartland, usually from either Joel or I.
But sometimes from awesome guest speakers as well. If you want to get in touch with us to find out more about our church, if you have something that you'd like us to pray about, or you just want to say hi, visit us online at heartlandbaptist.ca.
And if you don't want to miss anything, subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast app. We also have a YouTube page if you prefer video, which is just at youtube.com/@ Heartland, then Heartland Baptist.
Right now we're going through the book of John together as a church, so enjoy the podcast as we dive deep into God's word together.
There's a great irony in our world today. We are, they say, more connected than ever. I have a world at my fingertips. I could chat with people all over the world. Yeah, I remember a few years ago, one of the youth at Heartland got retweeted or quote tweeted or something like that from Steve Martin, the comedian. And her life got pretty exciting for a few days. She gained a whole bunch of new followers. Her phone was blowing up because she had got retweeted by Steve Martin. And this is a true story. And because his reply was like slightly racially insensitive, he took some flack for his tweet, like retweeting this girl from our youth group. But you know, that connection, well, it's cool. Like, it's cool that you could like connect with someone who you would never be able to connect with in the past. Yes, it's not very deep, is it? You know, Steve Martin might have retweeted this young lady, but that was the extent of their relationship. They're never going to meet. I think you would, if you're on Facebook, you'll relate to this. You have friends on Facebook that are friends on Facebook, but you might see their name and you might think, hey, I think I know that person. But that's the extent of that connectedness, right? Yeah, I could chat with people online from different countries, different cultures. But the likelihood of that connection ever being more than just a disembodied text, slim. Connection, real connection, deep connection, I think is something we all long for. That doesn't mean that that might not be scary for some of us, but that doesn't mean we don't long for it all the same. And so social media companies, they know this and they do what companies will do. They take this aspect of human nature, this good thing that God has placed within us, that this longing for connection and significance, and they monetize it. But what they provide, though, it taps into that longing, it doesn't provide us with any kind of lasting significance. It provides dopamine hits that last a moment and is really a shell of the kind of significance and connection that we are really actually longing for. That ache that we feel, that emptiness we feel after we put our phone down, points to a deeper truth. That's this: the deepest connection that we were made for is with our Creator. I think the deepest longing for connection that we have as human beings is that longing for connection with our Father, with our Creator. And the good news for us is that He shares that longing. God loves us and wants to be with us, which is what the gospel is all about. The very core of our faith, the very core of the gospel, the very core of our identity as followers of Jesus is what we're going to look at this morning. I've mentioned this in past sermons in our series in John, but just to recap, from the beginning, God has wanted to dwell with His creation. That was the original vision of Eden. God walking in the garden with His creation, with His people. When the nation of Israel escaped from Egypt, God gave them the instructions for the tabernacle, the dwelling place where the presence of God would be with His people. When Israel stopped wandering, the temple was built. Again, this symbol of the presence of God living with his people. But even in those in the tabernacle, the temple, the presence of God was in a limited sense. And then here we have in the Gospel of John, we have the person of Jesus. Again, the presence of God, God himself dwelling with his people. But again, in a bit of a limited sense, isn't it? Jesus was fully human, and that means there were some human limitations on his presence. He couldn't be everywhere at once. He had a limited capacity for relationships. But we know that his death and resurrection are coming. We know because of what we looked at two weeks ago that the Holy Spirit is coming. But Jesus is going to use an illustration here that helps give his disciples a framework for the whole of the gospel. God dwelling with his people and his people dwelling with him. The gospel in its fullness isn't about being saved from eternal punishment. It's about life with God eternally and abundantly. Life fully in him and with him. And that's what we're going to look at this morning as we open the Word of God together. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 15. We're going to read from verses 1 to 8 together. It'll be on the screen behind me as well. Here's what the Word of God says. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. The translation that we read from uses the word remain. Some translations will use the word abide. The Greek word in various places is used is translated reside or dwell. We're going to use all three of those words sort of interchangeably this morning. But what I want you to know this morning is this. Abiding in Christ is a commitment to staying connected to the source of life and cultivating dependence on him. Abiding in Christ is a commitment to staying connected to the source of life and cultivating dependence on him. Now, we're going to unpack this morning, and we're going to jump around a little bit. But first of all, let's look at something that should be clear to us this morning as we read this passage together. And that's this. Jesus is the source of life. When we look at this illustration that Jesus is giving to his disciples here, we see that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. What happens when a branch disconnects from a tree or a vine? Can a branch live without being connected? No, of course not. What Jesus is saying here very clearly is that he is the source of life. We cannot live the life that God is calling us to. We cannot live the life of a disciple. We cannot live the life of a follower of Jesus without remaining, without abiding, without dwelling with and in Jesus. That's simple to say, but it's not always easy to do, is it? You know, water is what branches need to survive. It's what plants need to survive. is what we need to survive. I don't know if you ever watch like survival shows like Alone or Naked and Afraid, but water is one of the very first things you need to survive. And, you know, if you've ever seen those shows, you watch, if that water isn't properly purified, if there's something that in the water that shouldn't be, it's bad news. You know, I think that what's easy for us to do is to take good things and put some things in so that they become less life-giving, right? So let me give you an example. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, an ice cold beer on a hot summer's day or a nice glass of red wine. But when we come to depend on those things, when we come to depend on alcohol, well, then there's a problem, right? There's nothing wrong with physical exercise. It's good for you, right? But when our identity and our joy depends on looking a certain way in front of other people, well, then there's a problem. You know, there's nothing wrong with enjoying your spouse, loving your spouse, spending time with your spouse, but when your identity and security depends on them, well, then there's a problem, right? There's nothing wrong with longing for connection. We were made for that. But when that longing leads us to pursue counterfeit connection, like through pornography, for example, well, then there's a problem. It's easy, I think, for us to mistake other things for the sources of life, right? It's easy to think of these other things mixed with good things as life-giving. Do you see how our thirst for connection with our Creator, and that's our ultimate desire, what we were created for, if we're not careful, can lead us to separation from the life that Jesus has for us. If you drink water with bacteria in it, you won't get hydrated. In fact, it'll be the opposite. And what Jesus is saying here is that in the life of a disciple, that he is the source of life. He is what will bring us life. He is what will satisfy our souls, will satisfy this deep longing within all of us for connection with our Creator. Brennan Manning puts it this way. The Christ within, who is our hope of glory, is not a matter of theological debate or philosophical speculation. He's not a hobby, a part-time project, a good theme for a book, or a last resort when all human effort fails. He is our life, the most real fact about us. He is the power and wisdom of God dwelling within us. Jesus is the source of life. The second truth that I think we glean from this passage is this. Staying connected to him will produce fruit in our lives. It says, those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. So what does it mean to be fruitful? What kind of fruit are we talking about here? What does it mean for us? Is it obedience? Is it love? Is it good character? Is it new followers of Jesus as we evangelize, as we go forth proclaiming the gospel? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? What's Jesus talking about here? I think the answer to all those questions is yes. That is what Jesus is talking about. The fruit in this image, in this illustration, represents literally everything in our lives that is the product of dependence on him. This is the fruit. The fruit is what comes out of us as we depend on the source of life, as we stay connected to Jesus, as we abide, as we dwell, as we remain in him. And I want to be clear here that in this passage, when it talks about branches withering and being thrown away and burned, this is not talking about salvation, okay? Jesus is not saying that our salvation is conditional on our fruitfulness. But what he is saying is that as with any tree or vine or plant, there is one purpose for that branch, and that's to bear fruit. But it cannot do that if it is not connected to the vine. What this is saying is that we can't live the life of a disciple. We cannot live the life of a follower of Jesus. We cannot live the life that God is calling us to, a life of joy, a life of love, a life of beautiful fruitfulness, unless we remain, abide, dwell with the source of life. This isn't about losing salvation. It's about losing vitality. And this passage also isn't calling us into an ever-growing task list either. It's easy, I think, in the culture we live in to associate activity with productivity. But there's loads of things we can do as followers of Jesus, as Christians, that might tick off that activity box, but aren't producing the kind of fruit that Jesus is talking about here. Think about this for a second. How much work is it for a branch to produce fruit? Well, it's none, right? There's nothing the branch can do except produce fruit. Fruit is what happens, just what happens when it's connected to the source, when it's connected to the vine. Sure, there might need to be some pruning to make sure that that plant is healthy. That's true of us too. But Jesus isn't adding something to the disciples' to-do list and then measuring them by that output here in this illustration. Jesus is saying, stay connected to me, remain in me, and you will produce fruit. That's just what will happen. As you stay connected, as you remain, as you abide in the source of life. Staying connected to Jesus will produce fruit in our lives. That's the second thing. But all of this brings up a question for me. It's easy to talk about the importance and the outcome of abiding in Jesus, resting in him, dwelling in him, staying connected with him. But the question that we haven't asked or answered yet is the how question. Because unlike a branch or a tree, whether or not we stay connected to the vine, whether or not we draw life from Jesus comes from choices that we make. So the third thing we're going to talk about this morning is this. We stay connected to him by cultivating dependence on him. We cannot abide in him. We cannot remain in him if we're not intentionally growing in our life with Jesus. The first way I think we cultivate dependence on him is with spending time with Jesus. Now, this isn't exactly groundbreaking. This is not something you've never heard in church before. But I do think this is easier for us to say and give lip service to than to actually do. Because I think that each one of us has so many demands on our time, don't we? Like, we try not to over-program our kids, but man, this spring, Simon had soccer 3 nights a week. Hannah has piano lessons. We try to prioritize spending time with friends and family. And so that means that, like, literally, like, if you looked at our calendar, it seemed like there was something, like, every night. You know, we're all busy, right? And so what suffers? And so, you know what? You say, you know what? I might not be able to spend as much time with Jesus, but I'll spend quality time with you. Quality over quantity, right? But I think there's a myth out there when it comes to quality time. And this can apply, I think, to our relationships with our spouses, our kids, our friends, whoever. Quality time only exists within the context of quantity time. Let me put it this way. If I don't spend time in the car with my kids, you know, then I don't get to talk with them about their days. We don't get to maybe develop and laugh at inside jokes. You know, if I don't spend dinners and time in the evening with my kids, if I don't spend time helping Hannah with her math homework, then I can't bond with her over mixed fractions and how we hate math. And then she doesn't get to hear from her teacher, who knows me from when I was a student, tell her that he's disappointed in me. Yeah, if I don't spend time with Stephanie just being together, probably going to Costco, you know, we don't get to have those vital parenting conversations without listening ears. We don't get to listen to each other. We don't get to connect about our days. We don't get to maybe plan out a date night together as we talk. Oh man, it's been a while since we've done that. As we sample the latest delicacies and cry as we spent at least $100 more than we intended to. I could make Hannah walk home from school. It's not that far. I could stay home on the couch instead of going shopping. I could do something else. It doesn't seem like quality time, does it? But quality time only happens when we spend a quantity of time with someone else. And the same is true with our relationship with God. We don't get quality time without showing up. If we're not spending time with Jesus, how will he speak to us? How will we listen? How will we cultivate this relationship, this dependence on him? If we're not slowing down to talk to him, to listen to him, we don't get quality time. We don't get connection. We don't abide, we don't remain, we don't dwell with God without showing up. It's a slippery slope in any relationship to neglect taking that time to cultivate that relationship. But I think, especially in our relationship with God, if we neglect taking the time to cultivate our dependence, cultivate our relationship with him, then we are on a path to unfruitfulness. And it can be tempting, because if you've been a follower of Jesus for any length of time, like any relationship, you can go through spells, periods where, you know, spending time with Jesus is easier than at other times, where it's more, it feels more life-giving than at other times. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the summer to answer that how question. How are we going to cultivate that dependence on Jesus? How are we going to abide? This is too big to take one Sunday on. We're gonna take the whole summer looking at different spiritual practices that help us remain connected with the true grapevine. We're going to look at different ways to maybe do things like structure our time with Jesus. We're going to look at prayer. We're going to look at silence and solitude. We're going to look at a whole bunch of other things that will cultivate that dependence on him. It's going to be really, really practical this summer as we think about this how question, as we think about cultivating dependence on Jesus. Lastly this morning, abiding in Christ is a commitment. Listen again to the words of Jesus when he says, "But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." Abiding, remaining, dwelling, those are long-term words. Those aren't words that show up once and then go. They're words that put roots down. It takes a few years after planting a grapevine before you will see any fruit. And then it takes a few years more after that till that fruit is really good and useful. Abiding in Christ, remaining in him, is a commitment to relationship. It's a commitment to dependence on Christ. And our enemy doesn't like this. And so what can happen is that even as we are doing our best, the strategy of our enemy is to keep us from being fruitful because it is there that he is defeated. And so there will be all sorts of things that try to distract us from him, displace his presence in our lives, diminish his place in our lives each and every day. And we need to be aware of those things. So Jesus talks about pruning in this passage. When he says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the garden. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. So let me ask you this morning, if we think about the strategies of the enemy, what's in the place that Jesus should be in our lives? What comes to mind? What needs to be pruned? What needs to be trimmed from our lives so that we can be more fruitful as we remain committed to him? I'm not a gardener, but I looked this up. And if you're a gardener, maybe a chaos gardener, and you want to correct me, I won't fight you on this. But pruning, from all the research that I did, is when you cut off branches that are dying or unhealthy and are taking resources and not contributing to the health of the plant so that those healthy branches can grow more, produce more fruit so the tree can have more access to sunlight or that new growth can occur. So let me ask you, as we think about this illustration of Jesus, what is it that needs to be pruned? What's keeping you from that healthy relationship with him? Any relationship worth anything requires a level of commitment. I won't be friends with someone for very long or very deeply if I don't commit to spending time with them. I would be a bad husband if I wasn't committed to my wife, and abiding in Jesus is a commitment. But let me end where we began. We have been created by God and for God. And the deepest longing for our souls is only satisfied in him as we remain connected to the source of life. We began with the ache for deep connection in a shallow world. And I want to end with good news, with the gospel. We were made for connection, not shallow, not virtual, but eternal and real with our Creator. And abiding in Christ is a commitment to staying connected to the source of life and cultivating dependence on him. Let me leave you with a few questions as we close. Is there anything in your life that is keeping you from drinking deeply from the source of life? Is there anything keeping you from drinking deeply from the source of life? What is the fruit in your life that you can point to as a result of your connection with Jesus? Do you see that fruit in your life? Do you see the fruit of Jesus living within you in your life? How are you cultivating your dependence on him? What are your spiritual practices? What are you doing to cultivate that dependence on him? And lastly, is there anything that is challenging your commitment to Christ? We have a Father who loves us, who wants to dwell with his people. We have a Savior who has risen, who has defeated death, and he is the source of life. And we have a Spirit living within us. Jesus is the vine, and he wants to give us life. eternally and abundantly. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that as we yearn for connection, as we ache for that connection, God, that we would not look to counterfeit sources, but that we would look to you. God, I pray that as we wrestle with this, God, that you would show us the things that need pruning in our lives, that you would show us what's challenging our commitment to you. And God, I pray that you would continue to teach us, that you would continue to show us what it means to abide, remain, and dwell in you and with you. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.